Welcome to the Hair Boss Not Hair Loss podcast. One of my aims with the podcast is to create a community and provide a safe space to discuss hair loss, including addressing some of the many questions that those experiencing hair loss will have. So, in this episode, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to talk you through some common questions to help anyone experiencing hair loss and anyone supporting others with hair loss, but also to open up the conversation, address some stigmas and deepen knowledge around hair loss. Let's get stuck in. So, question. One of the questions that I'm always asked is around, obviously, hair loss and chemotherapy. So when we're talking about hair loss and chemotherapy, I'm often asked, what can I do? You know, will all my hair fall out? Can I stop my hair falling out during treatment? Etc, etc. All of these questions are normally the first thing that people ask us on the telephone at the salon. And my advice is always, you know, I'm very truthful. And so you need to be armed with the truth. If you have been sent to one of our services by a nurse or by the hospital because you're going to have chemotherapy and they've addressed hair loss in the session where you talk everything through with the nurse, if they've discussed hair loss there, then it is very, very likely that the hair loss will happen. And it's our job really in the salon to prepare you for that. And will there be the 0.1 person whose hair doesn't fall out? Yes, probably. But is it likely that you're going to be one of them? Probably not. If you follow through with your regime of chemotherapy, then we would expect to see significant hair loss. That completely depends on the strength of the dose. It depends on the frequency of the dose. It depends on whether you're able to complete all of the rounds of chemotherapy issued. There are many, many factors, but essentially, if you go through one or two rounds of a certain type of chemotherapy, then the hair loss would be imminent. So what can you do? Well, the number one thing that I think you should do is prepare for that and not to bury your head in the sand about it. And what I mean by that is it's something that you should discuss. It's something that you should talk about. It's something that should be a topic in the house. If it's something that is extremely upsetting for you, then you're going to need to find some support around that. And the sooner you find it, the support, the better. One of the things that people often do with chemotherapy-related hair loss is they think they're going to be that 0.001%, and they think, right, I'll hang on till my hair's fallen out and then I will do something about it. But by that time, you know, once the hair loss actually starts, it can be super distressing, especially if you haven't pre-planned for it, especially if you were hanging on to the thought that you might be the lucky one. And so to then have to act in that instance is very different to preparing for it before it happens. So what can you do practically? What can you take away from that? So I would suggest that the moment that you get the note from the hospital that you're going to have hair loss inducing chemotherapy, that you think about what it is you feel would be right for you. How would you feel with no hair? Is that something that you think you'd be able to cope with? Is that something that you feel your family will be able to cope with? For instance, people with young children might feel very differently to an elderly person who lives home alone. So think about the people that matter. Think about how you're going to feel. For some of the people that we see, the hair is everything. They're the kind of people who are fully made up when they go to Sainsbury's. You know, they've had a blow dry. They don't leave the house without washing the hair every morning. And the hair's very much their crown. You have that kind of person. And then you have the other kind of person who will say, oh, you know, I'm not bothered, I'll wear a hat. And you have to kind of see where you are on that spectrum as to how much it matters to you and what you're going to do about it. So if you're the type of person who wouldn't be seen in Sainsbury's without your lippy and your blow dry, then you'd probably be thinking more along the lines of maybe getting a wig. If you're the type of person who, you know, it really doesn't matter to you, you think you'd be all right, you're not that fazed by losing your hair in the grander scheme of things, then you might want to think about a scarf or a bandana or a hat, because once you don't have hair, it can be really quite cold. People don't realise how cold it can be with it. You know, you have approximately 100,000 hairs on your head. And so without those, it can get a bit nippy. So if you are not going to go down the wig route, what I would suggest is that you start to explore little bandanas, or certainly, even if some people don't even wear bandana, but If you're not going to do that, you can buy something called a sleep cap. The nicest ones are made out of bamboo because that's the softest thing that you can wear on your skin, which is obviously really quite delicate throughout treatment. So that might be an option. If you are going to go down the wig route, what we always suggest is that you should make contact with a local supplier quite quickly, because if it's something bespoke, if it's something that might need colouring, if it's something that still might be out of stock, then the more time that you give that supplier, the better. And also, you know, a local trichologist or a local wig supplier will also be able to offer you some support. They'll have seen what you're going through many times before and they'll be able to answer lots of your questions. One of the other questions I'm often asked is, can I stop my hair falling out? How can I stop my hair falling out? So you would again need to speak to your local hospital. Your specialist named nurse would help with this. There is one thing that they can do in hospital called cold capping. Not every hospital offers it. Not every department can do it. Its effectiveness is debatable. I've seen some really great examples and some ones where, you know, it just doesn't work. And sometimes it's not an option. Sometimes, depending on your treatment plan, depending on the time scale, then sometimes cold capping is not an option for you. So that is something just to discuss with your nurse if the hair loss is really concerning. And what that involves is when you go in and have your chemotherapy treatment, they also pop essentially a cold cap on your head, and it stops the hair follicles from shedding the hairs with the drugs. You still probably will get some hair loss with that. Some people will still get full hair loss with that. And some people will maintain some more hair with that treatment. It is very, very, very negligible. And the results vary hospital to hospital, nurse to nurse, machine to machine, and patient to patient. So that's something that you would have to discuss with the hospital. If you are going to try that, my recommendation would be that you still go and see about getting some new hair in the short term. You've got nothing to lose other than making plans. And then if you don't need the wig, great. But if you do, it's ready and it's waiting. The other thing that we always say is if you make a plan for the hair loss before it happens, you will definitely feel more in control. So what we mean by that is, if you have had some advice, somebody's talked you through how it'll happen, somebody's walked you through the days that it's likely to happen, how long it'll take, that kind of thing, then you'll just feel more prepared for it. You'll feel back in control of it. A lot of people choose to cut the hair very short before their hair falls out. Again, that puts you back in the driving seat and makes you feel like you've got control over it. And that's something that we tend to find the people who have chosen to cut the hair themselves will probably cope a little better than the people who wait for the hair loss to happen. When the hair loss does happen, it is a diffuse loss of hair and it can go on for days. And this is hard to hear, but it is the truth. When you put your hands through your hair, there'll just be a shedding that just doesn't stop. And you can't stop touching it. It's kind of an addiction. You just want to put your hand through it all the time because you see how much is coming out. That can go on for days and days. And if your hair is long, it could also get tatty and even matte. So if you do decide to let it come out naturally, then we would recommend that you, and you have long hair, certainly be putting that in a plait or a bobble for bed. Don't sort of go to bed during the hair loss with your hair loose, because then it could cause some really quite nasty matting. You might choose to wait for the hair loss to actually start and then go straight to your local salon and have your regular hairdresser where you feel comfortable to cut your hair for you. It will be less stressful. The other thing that what I always say to people, and I guess until it happens, you won't know that it's true, but the thought and the anticipation of losing your hair is much, much worse than once it's happened. Once it's happened, as humans, we accept that. And for the person with the hair loss, they can sometimes accept that quite quickly. They might not like it. They might not like the look of it, but they do accept it. But that anticipation, that knowing that something's going to happen that you're not keen on, that's the worst time. So the few weeks leading up to the hair loss can be the most stressful time, and that's the time when we want you to reach out and talk to us and talk to your family about it. Another thing that might help is if you are going to have your hair cut, another thing that can help with that is we often sort of might cut a lady's hair short and we say, pop your makeup on, make yourself feel as good as you can, you know, when you come into the salon, and we'll do the short haircut. And then we take some pictures and we would send those pictures with a little message to our friends, our family, our loved ones, and just say, hi, you know, if they do know what you're going through. Hi, this is Susie. As you all know, having some treatment that's going to start soon. And I just wanted to show you a picture of the new me, so that you don't get a shock when you see me. And that can be a really powerful way to not be frightened to bump into somebody with your new hair, not be frightened to let Auntie Sue see what you look like with short hair or no hair. So sometimes just taking a picture, if you are on social media, it depends, you know, whatever your platform is. Some people do a post and say, this is the new me, don't get a shock when you see me. Because that's normally what we find the person in the chair is worried about, is what other people are going to think when they see them. So that also gives you that power back. If you put a picture out there and say, you know, looking forward to our coffee on Friday, this is the new me, just preparing you for that. That can be really quite empowering. So that's some of the questions that we get asked around chemotherapy and before the hair loss happens. I hope that's been useful, and let me know if you have any more questions. I'll try my best to answer them.